everybody. Welcome back to the Sound Pollution Podcast. This is Raynell, and I am riding solo for this interview. Your Uncle Brent is on vacation with his lovely family, and we hope that they are having a fantastic time, and we can't wait to hear about all the shenanigans when he returns. For this episode, I am interviewing the Dead Moon Hung, which is another group that Steve is in. If you remember Stacking Pennies and Funeral Mass, this voice will be familiar. I gotta tell you, I really, really enjoy the music of this band. Right up my alley. It was such a fun interview, and I can't wait to have them on the show again. Just so you know, they are releasing their track 6, which is also featured in this episode today, along with this podcast episode. So do me a favor. I want you to click on those links below and go support this independent artist. It is a great track. Like I said, you're going to hear it in this episode as well. But we want to be supporting our independent musicians. So click on those links, go show them some love, go buy their music, and we're right into the episode.
So you guys, everybody,
you guys have been busy.
Yeah.
How'd you hook up with Everlast, dude? He seems like a pretty accessible and cool guy.
He was very nice. It was crazy.
That rules.
I know. I was like, go Brent.
They used to play this in Bethlehem every year called Music Fest. Yeah. And you could see him for free. But you get a new mic, too?
I'm trying it out, but it's weird. It's like echoey. Am I echoey on your end?
No, okay. The first one of you sounds great, and the second one sounds like it's distant.
So no Brent today. He's on vacation.
Oh, I was looking forward to saying hi.
I know. And you know what? He would have loved these tracks, too. But I didn't want to make you wait any longer because we're booked all the way through, like, the end of September.
Oh, cool. Anybody cool? Everybody cool.
I mean, everybody's cool.
This is Dan and Ryan.
I was going to ask.
It's New Rico and Tom.
I call New Rico.
Except you said that we're like the opposites.
So you guys definitely the opposites.
Yeah. Like Bizarro Tom and Rico.
Brian is my cousin, and Dan we found on the internet.
Yeah.
Are you guys drinking? Oh, fuck. I'm not going to be able to keep up with this. Let me have some more coffee. Fuck.
Casually. Can we just say a small piece about the dude from Smash Mouth and Jimmy Buffett?
And Bob Barker.
Please go. Yeah, well, before we let's start with that. Go ahead.
What's your piece?
Yeah, what's your piece, bro?
There's something about cheeseburger in paradise in there. And, you know, I don't know anything about Smash Mouth that wasn't in Shrek. So I gotta.
So you wanted me to do it?
Yeah. So can you please say something about Barker for it?
No, you wanted to do it.
That's all I got.
Here's my deal with that. If they could all just stop dying for a minute, like a minute, can you put like a cage around Ozzy Osbourne and Dolly Parton? Just don't go anywhere. Don't make any and don't do anything unnecessary.
I'm worried about Ozzy. Yeah, Ozzy's already dead. Gonna be fine. Fucking Dolly Parton's a cyborg. So.
Yeah.
But at least she's nice.
I can kill Ozzy. He's going to be just fine.
Where is Brent when I need him, man? He would have been all over this. How dare you take your wife and family on vacation?
Did he go anywhere fun?
I don't know. He really. He was just like, he just sent me like the Google link to our calendar and like was like, not available, not available, not available.
AKA don't bother me.
but then he starts responding to emails that he's linked in, and I was like, aren't you on vacation? Why don't you vacate? Like, I haven't heard anything since.
Well, hopefully he's having a good time.
I'm sure they're having fun.
Maxin' and relaxin'.
All right, listeners, if you're just tuning in, I am speaking with Dead Moon Hung. We have Steve from Stacking Pennies, who is also in this group because he's in like a zillion groups, I think. How many now is it?
Oh, I don't know, man. I just kind of like the Colorado groups are all gone and Stacking Pennies is just me and Brad at this point. I don't know. I just play a lot of music.
Tell our listeners who's who and who does what.
I'm Ryan. I play bass and sing poorly.
Yeah, he sings all right. he's also like the social media manager. He's the one that kind of... I'm Dan. I'm the drummer. I mix and mostly produce our music, and I've also just kind of taken over the role of doing our visuals as well.
So, Steve, what do you do?
I'm just here for the good time, not for the long time, you know?
He's the magic maker.
Yeah.
I play guitar, and I play slide guitar, and I write a lot of the music and arrange the music that Ryan writes, too.
I thought that guitar sounded familiar.
Cool. What do you do?
What do I do? You're looking at it, and I also wipe ass for a living. So.
Yeah. What's your role in our band?
Steve, you got back. Did you all go to Colorado and tour, or were you doing something else in Colorado?
No, we went to Colorado for the show. We played with Funeral Masks.
Right on.
Tom and Mikey and their new band called Suicide Cages, which they're awesome. They're so good.
I should wear their shirt.
Yeah.
I was going to say. That name sounds familiar.
Suicide Cages?
Yeah.
They're kind of a thing, right? Like they're having a moment and they fucking
Yeah, they're really good. Really good guys too.
Are they? That's always good. It's nice when the band that's really good isn't full of assholes.
Yeah. Well, Mike and Tom were in a band called Cult of the Lost Cause for a long time. And then that kind of fizzled out, and I know that the drummer from that band is in Glacial Tomb now, and Mike is with Suicide Cages. He's just been in like a bunch of like really good acts. I think he was in Fathers, I think Grief Ritual too. And Rico obviously is just like a monster. And Tom's just doing Suicide Cages thing. He's got another project called Lesser Apes that I'm really excited to hear, but they haven't put anything out yet. Devin is a really good dude and a great frontman.
He's also terrifying.
Yeah, he's humongous.
I feel like you talked to him.
He's terrifying. Dude, you look like you could fuck a mother. Like, are you sure you're not the bouncer for the band?
He makes me look tiny.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
He's a large man.
He's a massive man.
Super fucking talented. That was a hell of a show.
Yeah, they really are good.
We're working on finishing up our first release. And as far as shows, we're starting to consider doing some weekend runs to like, you know, regional cities, maybe four day runs here and there. That's pretty much where we're at.
Yeah, we're looking to sprawl across the East Coast a bit and try and get out of Philly a bit. You know, we've started to get some shows here, and you know, we don't want to just pigeonhole ourselves into one city. We want to definitely expand and, you know, just try and hit as many places as possible, and I don't know, see what the hell happens.
Yeah.
Have you guys thought about going to the New York area?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that hard rock there, man.
Yeah. And we're like, you know, some of the cities we're looking at are, you know, New York, Boston, even like Connecticut, you know, some of the spots there, because, you know, you have some people who, you know, commute into New York, and, you know, we got DC, Baltimore, Virginia Beach, a bunch of places within decent driving distance.
The Quiet Man's even going up to Montreal and come. They're going like a 7-day run up through Buffalo. I'd love to hit Buffalo and play.
Yeah, I was thinking Buffalo.
Well, I'm not allowed in Canada, so.
Well, we're not going to Montreal.
Yeah.
Good God, you're not allowed in Canada?
Yeah, I don't think that I'm allowed in Canada either. Like, we were up in Vermont and we were going to go, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get in. You know, you get like one or two like minor charges, and if they're the wrong one, they won't
let you. Yeah, it's not like a. I don't know if I want to play it up and make it seem like I'm more of a badass.
Okay, so let's talk about the new record a little bit more. When is it releasing?
It's a good question.
Well, it's not done yet.
Yeah. We haven't set a hard date yet. You know, we're still working through the final stages of it.
We're just kind of releasing singles every week or so.
So, like, one thing you should know about this band is this is a passion project. Guys are legit pros. Brian's done like US tours and 2 Euro tours. Dan is a, you know, sanctioned priest of the Church of Audio Engineering.
Nice.
But I've also played in a number of bands too, and I've never been on tour or anything like that, but I've definitely been around the block before I met these guys. I mean, shit, when I first moved here, I was in 4 bands.
Yeah. So we're just kind of like releasing this as it needs to be released, because we're not compromising on quality.
Okay.
And it's pretty fun to do in-house when you're on that level. And by that, I mean, it's really cool to cut stuff in my basement and then ship all the bullshit over to Dan to fix.
Yeah. on a 7-year-old laptop.
We're starting a GoFundMe. But Dan's new laptop, you can find the link in the notes.
Hey, it works.
It's in the description section.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine we'll have, I mean, pretty confident the record will be out this year. We just don't have a set date at the moment. Just been a busy summer.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of bands are finally feeling like they can get back out there and do things like tour and record and play and like all the stuff that they haven't been doing for the last 3 years. So everybody's been really busy, which has been good. It's been really nice to see it. Because I felt like even after COVID was technically over, we were all kind of like, but we're scared, so we're going to wait. We're all broke from it, so we're going to wait. That was a big answer.
It's more so I just got kind of used to just being a hermit for some of it. Wasn't it great, though?
I'm still a hermit.
I mean, so backstory on me. So I moved out to Philly in 2018, and then I moved into the city in 2019, got my apartment in the city September, October. And then I was finally settled in. I was like making a lot of progress, meeting a lot of people. Like I moved here without knowing anybody. And then I was finally starting to like gain some traction. Like everything was going great. And then boom, shut down. So it was tough for me at first, but then, you know, as things went along, it just kind of got, you know, better and better. And then I met these two clowns and things have kind of, you know, leveled out.
So what is the writing process like with the three of you?
It mostly starts with these two.
Okay.
They'll bring a riff or an idea, and then, you know, we'll kind of just kind of see what happens. Sometimes Steve will actually have, you know, some good, it'll pretty much orchestrate it all, kind of tell us what he's looking for. But a lot of it's just really organic. It's kind of like taking the jammy aspects of like funk and jazz, but we're applying it to metal, essentially progressive metal at that. Kind of comes as it goes. There's no real set process.
I feel like if you have an idea, you make a quick little recording and you send it to the group chat. And if nobody responds, then you probably forget about that idea.
They're like, they didn't say it was good. They didn't say it was bad. They just put it in the trash bin. Okay.
But, you know, if there's a response, then it definitely feels like a collective process. Like Steve is definitely the orchestrator of things. Super good at arranging stuff, and he's really good with like coming up with like unfinished ideas, and Steve is really good at finishing them for me.
So one of the cooler things though has definitely been, so Ryan writes catchy cool stuff, and I have a backlog of music from previous bands who got the video or the voice message in the group chat and then it promptly was forgotten, and so I'll just take all those, file them in the promptly forgotten folder. And then when something interesting comes back, like in a new project, I'll recycle it to see if it fits or not. So some of the tracks, like Yourself is, and we didn't release that one yet, but that was supposed to be like a funeral mass track. And, you know, Rico was like, this doesn't fit. Rico was always really good at telling me when I was wrong. And he was usually right about it. He did it in a way that was like, quick and like, this isn't gonna work, so let's try something different. And that was like cut. So I just put that in the folder, and then this project came about and it just like seemed to fit. So it's like, cool, we use this here. So it's kind of cool to like recycle a bunch of that stuff.
And we have a pretty good like democratic process here, you know, where we'll speak our minds. You know, nothing's really a secret. You know, if we like it, we like it. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah, this is the most collective effort I've ever been a part of.
And everybody carries their weight, too.
Yeah.
There's no slackers here at all. Well.
I'm probably the slackiest one.
That's not true.
Like, well, that's me.
It's fine.
No, you're the front man, dude. You have the most energy on stage.
You just have to keep doing that. Don't start slacking there.
Well, that's part of my presentation.
Is there a track that you guys had any problems with?
Like writing?
Yeah, and just like how it came together.
Oh, everything came together easily. I would say there's a track that was hard for me to learn, and that's...
Well, they'll know about it because they're going to talk about it. Some Presto Changer.
Presto Changer was difficult for me. I come from a like blues rock background. Everything's in 4/4, and pentatonic, and Steve's like a wizard with the crazy time signatures and stuff like that. So that's all.
Yeah, we heard about that when I interviewed Funeral Mask.
Yeah, but it's really great, and it took me some time to get it, but it's a really good track.
Yeah, I remember when we were first like talking about that song, and Steve was first introducing us to it, and kind of going back to our writing process. So Steve will, I mean, a lot of times he'll write in odd time signatures and complex meters. And so one of the first questions I ask him when he sends me a new idea is, okay, break down the time signatures for me just so I can understand where you're coming from and learn where the beat is. And I remember when he sent us Presto Changeo, he was breaking down, you know, the structure of it. And he told me, oh yeah, this part's in 23/8. I texted him, go fuck yourself.
I feel like I just said the same thing. I'm like no, break it. No, start over.
It's in like a chuggy circumstance, so it's like
I mean, it makes sense now, but at the time I was like, dude, screw, like, fuck you.
When you put that weird, like, 7 is an interesting circumstance because it allows you to end on, like, an offbeat, and then it was kind of a function of, like, taking this riff idea and then reversing it so that the notes were, like, the rhythm was the same, but the notes were backwards, and it wasn't even, like, that complicated. And it's not complicated when you hear it, but then when you try to explain to somebody, like, yeah, like, 23/8 does sound complicated, or, like, 3 bars of 7 and a bar of 2/8. This is really how it breaks down. I don't know. It's goofy. It sounds cool, though.
Yeah, lots of 7s and 5s in our music.
Odd numbers.
Lots of 7s and 5s. Which has made me a better musician, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
That's cool. So let's talk about Presto Changeo. I love the way it just starts, like it jumps into it. I really, really dug that. The guitar work's amazing. You're killing it, sir, on the drums.
Thank you.
Sound Pollution gives a lot of shit to drummers because Brent has had so many issues with drummers. Like I'm in the process of making t-shirts that literally say fucking drummers.
What did I do?
But it's like an ongoing theme we've discovered. But you're killing it.
I appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit more. I mean, we already talked about it a little bit. No lyrics? I don't hear any lyrics in that one.
No, so that's the thing. Like I feel like half of our music so far is vocalist, and I don't think we're afraid to keep it that way. Honestly,
that's cool.
Because some of these songs, there's so much going on that in some ways it would be hard to introduce vocals, but I don't know. We're still kind of a young band in a lot of respects.
It's been less than a year.
It's been about a year exactly.
Exactly.
Also, like, you got to look at it, and maybe this is just me. I like to look at instrumentation as a you know, needed basis, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You go to 7-Eleven and you get yourself a solid hot dog. Does that hot dog taste just as good with or without mustard? Like, no, the mustard is kind of a piece of the puzzle. So if vocals aren't going to be the mustard on your dog, then don't put that mustard on your dog. Does that make sense?
No, that's a great way to explain it. And it's so funny because the last interview I interviewed Minor Arc, he does music, and most of his music doesn't have lyrics. We come across that a little bit.
That said, a lot of our stuff, like Cold and Shadow, like the melodies were so evident, you know. There's this weird philosophy. Somebody thought of it that was smarter than me. But it's something I like to subscribe to, which is that you don't really write music. You just kind of pick it out of the sky. So it kind of already exists, right? So with a song like Cold, the melody was there. And what Ryan was singing was there. And it made sense. It sounded very natural. It didn't sound forced. So, like, yeah, man, that dog needs mustard. So you keep that vocal line. But with a song like Presto, where it's so technical, you don't want to take away from it.
I am really excited to hear the rest of this album, just on a personal level. And if I don't get a copy, I'm going to be mad.
What does your shirt say?
Ghost Hookers?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's the name of a band.
That's a great name for a band.
Isn't especially on a Ouija board.
I wonder why you guys were like pointing at me. I'm like, what? This question is for Steve, because I know you do a lot of like the producing and all that. Did you experiment with any new recording techniques with this album?
Yeah, I got this piece of gear. He's 6 foot five. It weighs 200. No, it was kind of weird because like the DIY thing was so much a part of my process. And then Dan was like, "Nah, I got this." And I was like, "Okay, but like just do this." And he's just like, even today, he was just like, "Just let me cook."
Leave me alone.
I said that a half hour ago.
Chef Dan.
So it's kind of been weird, man. And like I have all this cool new gear.
And you didn't get to play with any of it?
Yeah, totally. But Dan is definitely the best gear I've ever invested in.
Dan, how does it feel to be made into a piece of equipment, friend?
I've been that since I was born.
Aww.
No, so the way the recording process went for us, Steve and Ryan have pretty much recorded everything here in this basement. And then we have a friend of ours, Jeff Lucci, who has a kind of a converted garage that he made into a studio. And we tracked the drums there just because, him having a little bit more equipment and just more space, a bigger room, it just made sense to kind of go that route for the drums. So we did the drums there, the guitars, the bass, the vocals have all been down here. And Steve really kind of engineered all the recording for the guitars and the bass and the vocals. And then I've just kind of taken it all back to my apartment and have been slaving over them, you know, whenever I have time from work and stuff like that. But it's sometimes when it feels like it's daunting or overwhelming or too much, like it's really rewarding once you get that final mix out. You know, some of these last couple tracks we put out have been, you know, some tracks I'm really proud of. And it's been, you know, good to hear that everyone likes them and just ready to, you know, finish the whole thing and move on to the next one.
So let's talk about another one of those tracks. Let's talk about Cold, which is my favorite of the three you sent me, probably because I am personally partial to lyrics.
Because you need a jacket, because you're chilly.
That's right. That's what it is.
This is a song for anybody who maybe went a couple days without heat in the winter or found themselves in excessive air conditioning.
You're also talking about, you know, the lyric aspect of it. I mean, Ryan is a very, very clever writer. He comes up with some really, really good lyrics, catchy melodies. And I remember, you know, the first time he kind of brought the lyrics to us, I was really kind of taken aback and really surprised at, you know, I'm sorry not to say surprised, but I was pleasantly surprised.
He's like, thanks, fuck off.
Like it's a backhanded compliment, but I'm like, yeah, these are really well written.
Yeah, the lyrics are fun. And also that's like a difficult thing to roll to step into is mm-hmm. like frontman vocalist. So right on, dude.
Yeah. Well done. Especially for your first vocal.
That's the first song I've ever written that's been used for anything. So that's
but it's not cool. The first song you've ever written, I'm guessing.
I've written pieces of a million songs. I've never finished one though. I think that's the first one I've ever finished. And that was with the help of Steve. That's why I feel like there's such a good cohesion here, because I was like driving home from work and the melody like came in my head. I'm sitting in traffic and I'm like scrambling to hit voice record just so I can work with it whenever I have time. And I had most of the lyrics within like 3 minutes right there. And it was just like stream of conscious. It's like, I didn't write it. You know what I mean? It just like came in my head. And I didn't have like a bridge or any sort of like spice to it. It was kind of just one dimensional. And that's where Steve came in. And I feel like it really gave the song what it needed. And the production aspect of like working with Steve and Dan has been like really beneficial. And I'm really proud of that song. I think it's pretty cool. It's weird. And I like weird. I'm happy with it, you know?
So tell us a little bit about the lyrics. What is it about for you?
So the lyrics are...
He's laughing, but I'm serious. People are going to want to know.
It's about walking into the woods and getting lost and ending up 6 feet under.
Whoops.
And I kind of intentionally don't get too specific as to why that happened or who did it or what you could have done differently, because I feel like if you were in that situation, you know, you wouldn't have time to consider that anyway. So there's like an occult aspect to it that I kind of play into. And I don't know, this is the type of subject that kind of like really piques my interest. Like, I'm really into the cult. I really like dark type stuff, but I'm like a happy-go-lucky kind of goofy dude. But
golden retriever energy for sure.
Yeah, big time. But the song's kind of dark, but I don't think that it's trying to be so dark, but if you actually hear the lyrics, it's not very nice. You know what I mean?
No.
but I think that's why it's cool. And when we play live, you know, my vocals are pretty wet, so I'm fairly well convinced nobody really knows what I'm saying anyway, but I kind of like that. I don't know, it's just like you close your eyes. I like songs that if you listen to them and you close your eyes, you can hear the lyrics that kind of take you somewhere. And I feel like Cold does that.
That also has a really nice, like, bassy intro that I really liked. That was different from the other two tracks you guys sent. I really liked that. Yeah. The guitar solo in that is sick. Brent's going to be mad he missed that, and it's just fun for me.
The lights go.
and that's kind of the beauty of our music is because, like, I mean, coming from, like, songs coming up from Steve's brain and songs coming from Ryan's brain, I would say you can tell them apart for the most part, but at the same time, it all kind of comes together and kind of fits the same theme overall. Mm-hmm. It's definitely probably our poppiest song in that respect.
It's radio ready in reality. We already talked about things unintentionally, not in the order I planned, so that threw me off because ADHD.
Yeah, keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. I needed more of that.
That's so changeo. You're lost.
I shouldn't wander out into the woods. For sure.
Changeo, rearrangeo.
I should give my wife a shout out for that one.
Yeah.
Did she name that one?
She named that one.
Oh, Presto, she named that Presto Changeo?
Yeah. Nice. Time to rearrangeo.
And she didn't find out until we were playing in Denver.
Yeah, I probably should talk to my wife a little more.
Maybe it was a happy surprise for her. She's like, oh, they're listening.
Well, and I like put it like in the little Spotify thing. Oh no, that's cool. Keep your people involved.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump into the other song.
Cool.
Which is it? You, by the way, didn't tell me what the name of it was, which was my favorite thing. It's just Six or Single. So what is the name?
Six.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if it was like track six.
It's Single because that's the...
It's like going to be a single.
Yeah, we're probably going to release everything. I don't know if we're going to do all singles or if we're going to release like a full length.
That seems to be honestly an ongoing debate among bands right now. Several people that I follow on TikTok are like, do you want the album dropped at once after a couple singles, or do you just want me to keep dropping it as singles? Like, which do you prefer? Now, I prefer the whole album because I like to sit back and listen to an album from beginning to end, but that's just me. But I know, like, people, especially people in like their 20s and early 30s, they want those little bits at a time so that they can keep coming back to something new.
I think it's okay to release a couple singles to maybe get some traction.
Right. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But then like they don't ever drop it as a full album. Mm. It's always just little singles. Yeah. It seems to be like a debate happening right now.
And yeah, what is an album if not a playlist full of singles?
That's true.
And what are the chicken pox if not early onset shingles?
What the fuck? Well, Steve, it's nice to have you back, dude.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Six. Again, you guys kind of jump right in with this track, again with the drummer. It had, a Tool-ish feel, but heavier. And I know that you haven't released this yet, so make sure that you tell the listeners everything about it so that they go buy it. I want them to buy it.
What is it? It's a disco track with a heavy synth in.
Yeah, there's like 4 and 5 part harmonies.
Heavily.
Oh yeah.
Heavily influenced by Kraftwerk.
Yeah,
definitely Kraftwerk.
Big Kraftwerk vibes.
when Steve sent me the rough form of this song, like, what was that, 8 months ago? I was driving down Columbus Boulevard in Philly, and my Delaware app now, whatever the fuck they call it now, my first thought was, this sounds like the gates of hell opening up, and we need to fucking make this song, and I fucking love it. I don't know what time it's in, and I'll probably have
to. I don't think you'll ever understand what time signature is, and don't try. Don't even ask him.
But, yeah,
Seven or five. This song.
It's actually both.
Yeah.
It's like funny enough.
But just like, I stopped thinking in time and start thinking, like, I don't really write in time. I just like to speak with the instrument. So if it is a weird time signature, is that like.
You're not going out of your way to write something.
Yeah, no. Unless it's like Presto is different because Presto was a concept that was like, let's flip this riff. But Six was kind of just like the way that it's set. That was just like play it as it lies kind of thing. It sounded cool.
Yeah, Six is actually probably the first, I don't want to say the first song that we really kind of put together, but it was definitely the one that really kind of, you know, put the foot on the gas pedal. Is really what kind of gave us some fire for the rest of the stuff we were writing. It was really the first one that really came together first. First one that really kind of solidified itself.
I think it's going to be cool, too, to release the other tracks. So, you know, Presto and Six being disco tracks, and the rest of the album...
The heaviest disco I've ever heard.
The rest of the album is kind of a little... it's a little catchy. So, like, when it releases, I like the idea of having some heavy front, like, exposure, and then, you know, some, like, kind of thrasher elements and a little bit more, like, catchy pop stuff. Not pop, but, you know what I'm saying, like, poppier kind of elements to drive the album home on the back end. Kind of keeps it interesting. Yeah, it's going to be a fun record. I'm pretty proud of it.
Okay, so what is the title? What is Six? Why Six?
Because 1 through 5 didn't work out.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And 7, 8, 9. So.
7, 8, 9.
That's really the reason.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I wish I was.
They were like, we don't have a title. Is it the sixth one? It's the sixth.
I was really going for 3. You know what I mean? But it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it ended up being 6. 6 just made the most sense.
Yeah, because 6 is 2 threes. It's double. Just more. It's like playing 2 11. You know what I mean? It's 1 louder.
We'll be right back.
You work with several different groups. How do you keep it all straight?
Me?
Yep.
I don't know, man. I just try to, like, you want to know what it really is? Is like, I'm really into this is going to sound crazy. I'm really into jazz, and I like to play straight ahead jazz. So I spend a lot of time riffing on old jazz standards on guitar and upright bass and a lot of and keyboard sometimes. And that kind of like familiarity of those tunes that I've played a million times, and you just know like a volume of them. And then when you go back into like something that's a little proggier or something that's, you know, like a little off sounding, like you're so used to playing these really relatable riffs that your chops are just there. I don't know. It just becomes easier, like, audibly to process them so you can speak more with these, like, different projects if you have a basis in something that's completely different. For me, and I might be crazy, but that's just the way I've always worked.
I think that's just the way your brain works.
I know it's weird and, like, probably not, like, real conventional. And I think a lot of guys have this, you know, proclivity towards jazz that can play a lot of different styles. So I'm not alone in this, but that's just the way I've always done it. Maybe I'm alone. I don't know.
I gotta say, Steve, I'm upset you haven't thrown the lick in anywhere.
The lick?
Yeah.
What lick?
The lick.
I don't know the lick.
You don't? Let's edit that out.
No, because now I need to know.
You don't know the lick?
What's the lick?
We'll talk about it later.
Can we play it?
No, fuck you, because then I won't know. You guys gotta tell
me. All right, let me pull it up on my phone. It's the lick. Literally what it's called.
I'll edit it out, but I can't go to bed tonight. I'll be in bed at like 4. Like, what?
You're gonna shoot yourself. That's the lick. It's made its way all across jazz. It's like the lick.
I mean, break it down. Let's break it down and run it over 2-5-1.
Now you have to find a way to throw that into progressive metal. I heard it, yeah. And yeah.
So, like, one cool thing about jazz is, like there was, like, an interview with Joe Pass where they asked him if he had ever, like, copied another artist. And he said something to the extent of, no, I never copied another artist except for Charlie Parker. Hmm. And so, like, you know, when I was younger, I went through the Charlie Parker omnibook, and there's, like, a million of those little licks in there. I guess I'm not the only one who caught on to it. It's pretty good.
No, it's a real thing. It's God, almost every show I've ever been to, I've heard it at least once.
Really?
Yeah, like jazz shows, yeah.
You should just.
I can't even remember the last time I went to a show, let alone a jazz show.
I like to go to sessions though, like, you know, where you go and like sit in, you can play with a bunch of guys and watch like a.
Well, I'm not a instrument aficionado like you, so I would really just embarrass the fuck out of myself. But you go ahead and do that.
Some of the sessions are really mellow. Like, some of the sessions are not really mellow, though. Jazz guys can be a little pushy. Yeah, you just get to... It's just like speaking any other language, I guess. It's really interesting to watch guys play, though. Like, guys who play jazz really well. Dude, I had a guy reach out. Where the hell is this guy from? When I released the second Stack and Pennies record, and he was just super amped on the record, which was crazy, because I never...
He was what?
He was just really, like, hyped on the record. It was really cool. And so
that's a good record.
He wrote a review for Lookup. Also, shout out Lookup. What's up, guys?
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. I love Lookup.
Yeah, they do some pretty cool stuff. I haven't talked to Bill in a while. I should probably catch up.
He just did a tour that was, like, nonstop.
Yeah, I saw that. He was, like, all over the West Coast. And that's good, though, man. He's a busy guy.
So I've asked Steve this twice in two different groups, so he can be quiet now. You two, what advice would you give a young musician?
Dumb.
Stop. I hate it when people say that as an answer. That's obviously bullshit. I know I had one guy who was like, be a plumber.
Smart young child and play with your ears and your heart.
I think the only advice I have to give to young aspiring musicians is stay golden, Pony Boy.
What was Steve's answer?
I said, make sure you get Milwaukee.
That's a fucking good one. Yeah, get ready for a career in tile.
Because Regis got that lifetime warranty, baby.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want an honest answer or do you want me to make some?
I want an honest answer.
I don't know. Don't be afraid to do what you want to do. And if you can't afford what you want, then work hard and get it. There's nothing more rewarding than getting what you want out of your own endeavors. You know what I mean? I built a fence for my uncle to pay for my first guitar. And
that's awesome.
That was pretty a cool experience. You know what I mean? And when you work hard for shit, it's a whole lot more meaningful. So that's the super corny answer that I have.
I'll give you a real one too. Music is, you only get out of it what you put into it. So, you know, if it's something you really want to do, you're going to have to grind your nose. You're going to have a lot of upsetting moments. You're going to have a lot of joyous moments. It's just a matter of what you do with those moments. I don't know. Break rules. Do things that haven't been done before. You know, learn from others. Listen to others. Don't get caught up in the bullshit.
Yeah, stay as far away from bullshit drama as you possibly can.
And don't walk too close to the back ends of bulls.
Shut up, Steve. We're done.
Keep it between the ditches.
All right. Well, guys, I've kept you far too long. I want to thank you, Steve, for bringing another band to the show. Bring me more bands.
Okay.
As many as you can. I will usually have better interviews than this. This is why I had my co-host, because he's funnier and better than I am. But we won't tell him that.
It was fun.
This was good.
Alright, everybody, that was this week's episode featuring the Dead Moon Hung. Please, please, please go buy their music. Go support them on social media. Go show them some love. The links are below. And again, that track 6 that you heard here today. This is their actual release date of that song. We really appreciate being included in that and can't wait to have them back on the show. And you guys, remember to get out there and make some noise.